Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Derek, I'm here.
Yeah. I'll tell you, this iPad's all messed up.
This what?
iPad.
Oh,
it's all messed up.
Well, I think it needs to belong to I instead of us.
Well, this is the bigger one. It ain't the little one. This is Kenny's bigger one. But it's still showing, but actually, well, it'll actually probably cut us off in 35 minutes.
Well, Keith said it won't cut us off, so.
Said it won't?
He said it won't cut us off. He told me that just a little while ago.
Okay, we'll find out.
You got it set where it says it's going to, but it ain't going to cut it off.
Well, I set it up at home, and I set it up for 6. But here on the tablet, when I brought it up, got church and brought it up, it come up for 5.
I don't know.
I don't either. Kenny said he wouldn't shut us off, so we'll find out.
I think you got some little gremlins in there somewhere.
Well, I got an old devil going to have to be all this week.
Me too.
Here comes Dennis. Mr. Dennis?
All right,
huh?
Okay?
Oh, yeah. What you been doing? Was you supposed to teach tonight?
I
didn't think so. But then, too, I wasn't sure whether I had asked you or not.
Can if you want me to, give me a couple minutes. I haven't really.
No, it's all right. I just couldn't remember what I had asked you or hadn't. I'm ready. But we got a technical difficulty here anyway on this thing, iPad. I set it up at home, and I say, like I always do. But when I brought it up here at church on the iPad, instead of it coming up for 6 o'clock, it come up for 5. So this iPad cut off at in 32 minutes and a few seconds, because I couldn't get the time to change on here. And but Kenny said that it wouldn't cut them off by them calling in. But they could still, but we'll find out. So, to cut them off and just cut them off. I don't know how to do this. But I signed up for 6 at home. I checked to make sure, even. Because this was the first night for school back on 6. But it come up on here at 5. I don't know what it's all, this crazy thing. We got Terry on here right now.
How you doing?
How you doing?
All right.
Uh,
She wasn't up there last night, was she?
Huh?
She wasn't up there last night, was she?
No. No, I haven't started that yet.
I didn't make it, boy.
It's going to be another week, I know, before it starts. Maybe even be longer than that. Depends on how long it's going to take this for. That incident has been, oh, that has really been asking the last few days. All right, James, you better get here.
You'll be here on time, on just about on time. Right on the button. Figure Kenny would be here.
Oh, we got about 3 minutes. I don't know what he's got into. He's with me at Bible study at Beehive. Told me, he said, now I'll see you Thursday. Mr. Kenny.
Yeah, we going to have church now?
Yeah, I'm going to wait 2 minutes.
You said this thing will cut off, right?
Yeah, I won't cut you off. Just go ahead and get started. They know what time church is.
Well, I'm waiting for James to get here.
Well, he knows what time church is, too.
Yeah, but he don't get here till last minute sometimes.
Well,
I just got 2 minutes and we'll get... Well, I got 2 minutes and we'll get started.
All right.
I'm going to go ahead and mute you guys.
All right.
And we'll see if this cuts you guys off, because it's showing that it probably will in 27 minutes. All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to be talking with you this evening from Matthew chapter 26. But first of all, we got to take a little reading out of my little book, my daily representative. And the title of it is called The Touch Lamp Responsive. It says, in Saul, later called Paul, we see a man with touch lamp responsibility. Consider what he did when Jesus shone a bright light on him as he was going to Damascus. When Jesus asked, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He quickly responded by saying, who art thou, Lord? And then, what wilt thou have me to do? Saul rose to his feet and went readily into the city when Christ instructed him to do so. After his conversion and baptism, he straightway preached Christ. What is my record when Jesus touches my life? Do I light up in obedience like a touch lamp? When he puts his finger on some bitterness I hold toward someone, do I light up in repentance and confession? When he touches an area of worldliness that has crept into my experience, do I light up with, yes, Lord, I will weed that out of my life by your help and grace? Or do I go out completely as a touch lamp does at one point in the touching sequence? Most touch lamps I've known have 3 levels of brightness. The first touch turns on the lamp, but the light is rather dim. Then when touched again, the lamp responds with a greater degree of brightness. Touched once again, it gets still brighter. Is that how we are when Jesus touches our lives again and again? Do we go in brightness? But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Proverbs 4:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. All right. That was our daily reading out of the little book. So let us, though, go to the Lord in our opening prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, Father, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance we need. But Father, most of all, is to give us a revelation and the truth of this your word, and burn it into our hearts and our minds. And Father, we're going to need that Holy Spirit to open both, to open our hearts and our minds, because for the most part, things of this world press in on us. And Father, we need help in a lot of times to get the world out of us and to stay upon that pathway of righteousness. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this session this evening. And we ask all of this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Going to be talking with you from chapter 26 of Matthew. It's a big, long chapter. There's not a whole lot of different characters to it, but there's several. So we may not make it all the way through 26 this evening. But hopefully, I guess everyone that is listening to me probably knows what holiday we're in. Now, if we look at the holiday that is coming up here now, we'd say Easter. But we are actually, instead of celebrating Easter like we always do, we need to celebrate it as the Jews do. Because this is Passover season. And you know, in Jesus' life, his birth, his death and all happened on holidays, their holidays. And they were to carry forward. It didn't just happen and then that be all over and not have to do that anymore. But, you know, just as the Christians, we never did pay much attention to it, did we? Because we went the other way, and instead of making it a day to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we made it a pagan holiday. See how much money we could spend and lie to our kids. Because that's exactly what we've done. I know, I've done the same thing. Tell my kids, you got to be good now. Start about a month and a half before. Letting them know they had to be good. Or the old Easter Bunny ain't going to come see you. get in the kitchen, color them eggs, tell them it's Easter eggs, you know. Do not lie. That's what we made out of this time of year. And this should be a very, very special time. This Passover. All right. We're going to be dealing over the next few services on the last of our Savior time here on earth. And that's one reason I'm starting here with chapter 26. So beginning here with verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know, after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman has done, be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now, the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. I'm going to stop reading there right now for the time being. And we'll back up here a little bit and see if we get any further than this. But we need to take a deeper look here at this word until we really understand. Because as you see, we're talking about the Passover and all. Come Sunday, this Passover time, this time of year, Passover is April the 15th to the 23rd. That's 8 days, actually. But that's the way it runs. So Sunday, we will have communion, Sunday morning. So all of you that's listening to me, be ready for communion Sunday morning with us. As we back up here, and we start out here, it says, then it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. He's letting them know ahead of time. He has not even been betrayed yet. But we'll be getting to that before, hopefully before Passover gets here on us. But anyway, he's letting them know what is coming. There's a lot of things in his teaching to his disciples that they didn't catch on to real quick. Some of them were kind of slow in catching on to what he was really meaning. Verse 3, he says, then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. Now, pardon me. And consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. You see, they're always planning from the time that he was born, there was somebody out to kill him, to take him from this earth because of who he was. Some of them were doing it when he was young as a baby, like the king, because he was afraid of him. And he sent there to Bethlehem and had all the children killed, male children killed, 2 years and under, just to be sure that he got Jesus. But you know what? God has a way of protecting all of us. So he had a way of protecting Jesus too. In fact, in reading the scripture, you can pretty well figure that Jesus was about the only male child that got out of there alive. But we all know how that story goes. Now, they're afraid now to take him like they was wanting to because of the feast day, because they're afraid of the uproar of the people. And yet, you see, that's something else that they didn't know, because it was the people that was crying for him to be crucified. His own people. And these that are plotting and trying to find a way to kill him are supposed to be the religious leaders of that day and time. They was there at the palace of the high priest. We see it really wasn't the regular one that had actually started out after him. It was those that were actually head of the law, leaders there of the law in the synagogues and things. Now here in verse 6 he says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat." Now you know, it don't tell us here really where this woman come from or who she is. But she came and she's getting ready to kind of stir the disciples up with what she's doing. She poured this on his head. But verse 8, "But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste?" They figured because she had poured this high-priced ointment on his head, that was a waste. You see, they hadn't paid any attention to what he had said earlier about 2 days, and he was to be crucified. It's letting you and I know that a lot of things are just going over the top of their head. It's not sinking in. Verse 9, "For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." That's what they were looking at. They wasn't looking at her doing it to be honoring Jesus at all. "And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me." She was doing something for what was coming that his own disciples knew nothing about. And even after he had told them, they still wasn't understanding. Verse 11, "For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always." 12, "For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." You see, this is another thing. A lot of people will tell you, well, you know, they just took and they took him and they took his life. They didn't take his life. He laid his life down for you and I. And he even tells them that a little further along that we'll get to before we get done with this. not tonight probably, but before we get done with this during the Passover. 13 says, verily, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman has done, be told for a memorial of her. He is wanting her actually memorialized over what she had done in anointing him with this ointment for his burial. And because she had cared enough and understood enough, now he's asking that she will be memorialized even down to our day. This was another thing that was not really to stop. But any time this message was to be preached, she was to be brought up and memorialized. 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? Hear this disciple, been following and going with him everywhere. Now he's ready to betray him. And look what we've got going on today. How mankind is walking away from him. Walking away from him and the church. And especially all of the churches that are actually preaching the truth. You're finding very few in them. Mankind is staying strictly away. And they made a covenant with him for 30 pieces of silver. You'd have thought he'd have tried to get a little more than that, but still, of course, in that day and time, that was a good price, but still. But 16, and from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now he's looking for a way to where he can betray him and deliver them to him. 17, now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the Master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house and with my disciples. You see, the Lord knows everything. There's nothing that gets by him. Today, all this worldly stuff that's going on, mankind thinks he's got everything hid. There's none of it hid from the Lord. And one day, he's going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord's going to be bringing out everything he's ever done that was wrong. He's going to find out, you know, I didn't have that head. Thought I did. But no, it ain't his. He knew exactly where to send him. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "We're sitting down now to eat the Passover dinner." And this was the first time communion was ever served. It was at Passover dinner that we have made what we call communion. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily, I say to you that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" Now they're asking him. Each one of them won't know if they're the ones going to betray him. And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." That man is facing two things, as we find out about him, because of his betrayal. Jesus is going to die, yes, just as he tells them later on, that they're not taking his life, he's laying it down. And he's done that for you and for me. But he's talking about Judas now here. And we know the story of this. And we'll be reading about that a little later. But we know that when Judas did betray him, he betrayed him with a kiss even. And then he went and hung himself. He took his own life. And he'll spend eternity in hell, in that lake of fire, when he could have continued with the Lord. But he let Satan get to him. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" And he said unto him, "Thou hast said." In other words, Jesus letting him know that he knows what he's doing. In fact, they both knew. 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." This is the first communion. This is where we get our communion from. Well, one of the places. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament." We know what the foundation of the New Testament is on. The foundation for the New Testament is on his blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He's letting them know that there's going to be another time, but he's not going to be with them to do it again. when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, we're going to get into Peter. Supposed to be such a good man. But he wasn't all that great either, was he? Not in the beginning. Here he is, a disciple of the Lord. Another one that's walking with him, going everywhere he goes, doing a lot of things and seeing a lot of things done that few had ever witnessed. But then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. In other words, he's letting them know that they are not going to really stand and give him support or backing. 32. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. He's letting them know exactly what plans he has got. He knows he's going to die. He knows how. He knows the pain, the torment that's going to go with it. He also knows he's going to raise again. And he's letting them know where to come to meet him. Because he's not done with them either. He's still got work for them. Just like he's got work for us today. You know, we're seeing more and more of the older men that are still in the pulpits today. Especially on TV. We got a lot of old men in the podium. In fact, I watch a lot of them. Because the younger men don't want the job, really. They want the ways of this world out here. In 33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Now, he's really bragging, isn't he? But Jesus letting him, going to let him know. But he's still going to brag. Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Three times before the rooster crows, he's going to deny Jesus three times. And the Lord's letting him know that. See, Peter still won't stand and brave. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all of the disciples. Now here's one that has traveled with him, walked with him daily, seen all the miracles and things that he'd done up to this point, seen the power at work. One that you would have thought that would have went with him, actually. And yet, we know he didn't. And Jesus knew he wasn't going to, told him, but he still wanted to stand with that pride and proclaim that no, he'd go and die with him. But that's letting us know, too, there's coming a day here soon for us where we're going to have to choose to serve Jesus and lose our lives or to walk away. And let me tell you something. Unless you are really a born-again child of God, you're going to walk away and choose the wrong direction. Because, you know, I went into service, going overseas. We had a lot of them on ship. That proclaimed to be atheist. I have never seen a true atheist. Like I said, we had a lot of them on the ship. Didn't believe in God. No. Wouldn't know God. They didn't believe in that. But we hit Korea. And the first bullet that went by their ear, they went to call on that God they didn't believe in. Oh, Lord, save me. I rented from a man. Rented my home there in Florida. He didn't believe in God. And I was, at that time, I was preaching around different churches and all. And I'd talk with him, nah, I don't believe that, nah, that just don't work. You're just wasting your time talking to me. And I'd talk to him anyway. And one day, I'm coming home, because he owned a business. He had a service station all right in front of work. The house was I rented from him. And the lot was full of police cars. I don't know what was going on. Anyway, I had to turn in there anyway, because right at the end of the drive was driving to my house. And one of the cops stopped me and asked me, "Are you Tony?" And I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Well, the old man in there wants to see you." I said, "Well, all right. What's going on?" He said, "Well, he ain't got long. But he's told us to watch for you. He wants to see you." So I went in where he was. He looked up at me from the bed there. He said, "You know, Brother Tony," he said, "you were right." And he said, "I've asked him to forgive me." He said, "Do you think he will?" I told him, I said, "Look, it's not for me to do the thinking. It's for you to do the thinking. But I will tell you this. I don't know of anyone that was honest about it that he ever turned away. He left out of this world pretty happy. And from the looks of him and the things that he had said to me and the police, oh, he pretty well figured that he had heaven made. But like I said, I've never met a true atheist. When they get in trouble, they go calling on that God they didn't believe in. All right, now, he's telling Peter here, they're going to deny him three times before the rooster crows. And Peter's still filled with that pride. But verse 36 says, then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Even Jesus, really, really didn't really want to die. But he was going to obey the Father. And we know he did obey. But we'll find out here really about Jesus and his prayer. He says, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He took them with him now. He took them actually for companionship. He's asked them now to wait there and watch with him while he goes off just a little further to pray. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He really wasn't wanted. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He's still willing to be obedient unto the Father. And we know that he was right up through death. But he really had asked if he could get that passed. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we all know this old flesh can get mighty weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. That's the second time he had asked and talked about that cup passing from me. But he's letting him know. And if it won't pass from me, then thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. 3 times he's asked that that cup could pass away from him. And if they would be some other way. Not the Father? Nope. And then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of the sinners. He already knew now that that was done. He says, raise. Let us be going. Behold, He is at hand that doth betray me. And we'll be getting into that in our next service, because I'm going to stop there, because we don't have much time. I don't want to get started into that. He is at hand. He knew he was getting close. And he was letting the rest of the disciples know that also. All right. We're going to stop there. And we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. But before we go to prayer, remember, I've told you that we're going to have communion Sunday. So all of you that's going to be calling in or listening from home or whatever, if you have your stuff with you, you can join in with us. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come to share your word with each other and be a support one to the other, so that they all will know, Father, that they are loved by you and that we love each other. Now, Father, for your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, for Israel and Jerusalem, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for Israel to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel also will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, this land of ours, a land, Father, that was leading in Christianity, leading in those that love the Lord Jesus Christ, has turned its back, took him out of every place he was in. Don't even want him mentioned in the prayers. They had no excuse whatsoever. And Father, we're asking for help to take those out of our government office that's against the Lord, against the church, and against your people. And help us to replace them with ones that will work to bring the Lord back in, put him into everywhere he was taken out of, and to work with us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being upon the Lord Jesus Christ and your word. Now, Father, our prayer list, as each name is called, we ask the Holy Spirit to fulfill whatever need they have, whether that need be physical, spiritual, financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina, Brothers in Christ there in Brandenburg. Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church. Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg. For the Meade County General Baptist Church. The pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, and the little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. But not only lighthouses, also make them a place of refuge where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. And Father, my friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs. Now, Father, Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, for Sue and for David, for James Taylor, for Dennis Lee, Father, for myself, for Karen, for Palance Goodman. Father, we all stand and we all need a mighty touch from the Lord Jesus Christ. Heal us, Father. Make us whole. Heal us physically. Heal us spiritually. Help us, Father, to walk upright with our faith strong and upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep us, Father, through the next days. Bring us all back together again, Father, come Sunday morning. Now, Father, this church is not mine, it's yours. I'm just here as an overseer. Help us, though, Father, make this church what you want it to be. Use us all, especially, Father, myself, Dennis, and Kenny. Use us, Father, in mighty and a great way. And Father, walk with us, guide us, and keep us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All that still can hear me, be with us come Sunday morning at 11 a.m. So until then, walk with the Lord our God and he'll walk with you. Have a good evening now. Good night.